Good morning. Well done. You made it to church through the wind and the rain and everything else that is going on out there. You made it. Well done. So this morning, we are starting a series, as Andrew explained, called Keys for Growth and Multiplication. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at various aspects of the life of the first New Testament church, looking at what God was doing in the book of Acts, how he was moving, and how the first church responded to God's call and God's leading upon their lives. And it's an exciting story and account to read, and we're going to be looking at one of those accounts in a minute from Acts chapter 5. But this year, our vision is grow and multiply, as you know, and that's to grow personally in our faith walk and in our obedience to God, but also to grow and to multiply as a congregation. So we are planting a PM congregation, and we have a vision to see more people saved coming into the kingdom through what we're doing this year. Can you say amen? Amen. And this is really our heart because it's God's heart. And what we're looking at today over this this series is to see actually what was going on in the life of that New Testament church. And how can we learn and take hold of some of the secrets, some of the passion, some of the desire, some of the longing that they had for God? Because when I look at, as I've been looking into this, I don't see that God consistently lowers the bar when it comes to commitment and obedience. In one sense, being a Christian is all or nothing. It's a giving of your whole life. It's throwing your whole life in and saying, God, this weak, insignificant thing of a life that I have here, with all my insecurities, I'm throwing it into you, and I'm going to lose it in you. But in losing my life, I know that I'm going to gain my life, and you're going to give back to me something that I cannot earn or even strive to get, because what I get back from giving my life to you is so much more beautiful, perfect, and purposeful in God. And so if you're a Christian here today, I tell you, you're living the dream. This is amazing. This is as good as it gets. This is it. God's working in us. We're moving forward in him. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful thing. And so over these next few weeks, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to grasp something of what it was like, as though we were walking with Jesus. I mean, many of us have been a Christian a long time, but imagine what it must have been like to actually walk with Jesus. You know those games when people say to you, so if you could go back in history, what was the person, who would you like to meet? And I always want to say Jesus, but it sounds too cheesy, doesn't it? And too kind of like, but wouldn't it be amazing to be there at the time when Jesus was alive and walking with him and hearing from him and experiencing that kind of just amazing sense of community and just presence of God together. So we are not inventing something new. We're going back to look at, okay, how did the first church react? How did the first church do community? How did the first church do prayer? How did that New Testament church do outreach? And today I'm looking at radical obedience. How did the first church respond to the message and to what God gave them to do? How were they so obedient to God? What was it that God deposited in them? Or what did they see in God that caused them to want to give their everything to God? And as I said, nothing's changed. And so God's got a high calling upon every single one of you here today in God. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, 17 to 42. So it's a few scriptures, but we're going to go with it because it's a fantastic story. And you know, it's one of these things that I've read many, many times, but looking at it again, it's just like, wow, this is so exciting. Then the high priests and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go and stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. And so they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked." I think that's amazing. In other verses, it says that the angel let them out and then locked the door behind them. I mean, it's just brilliant. They went there and they found the doors. They found the jail securely locked, verse 23, and the guards standing at the doors. But when they opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple, the temple guard, and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. And then someone said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned before the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach his name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you have killed by hanging on a tree. God has exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, but about 400 men rallied to him and he was killed, and all his followers were dispersed." Thank you, well done. "And it came it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the day of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." And his speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. I know it's quite a big piece of scripture to read, but wow. What an incredible story. And I just want to kind of unpick that really and just see, just look at what God was telling them to do and how they responded, and kind of just tie that into kind of looking at what can we grasp from the way that they responded. The first thing I see there is that they were uncompromising. They were totally uncompromising. And in the midst of all this persecution and hostility and stuff that was being leveled against them, it's amazing to see that the church grew and the church multiplied. And I was thinking about that. How is that possible? With all of this stuff going on, how was that? And I think those first believers were totally and completely committed and obedient to what God asked them to do. God spoke, they heard, and they said, we'll do it. Even though it looked difficult, it looked impossible, sometimes it looked madness. When they heard God speak, they didn't doubt. They said, we will do it. Why is obedience so important to God? I think one reason that obedience is so important to God is that he loves it. He loves obedience. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. It says there, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Who remembers Keith Green? Anybody remember? So it's a smattering of people. You've got to be of a certain age to know Keith Green. For those of you that don't know him, he was a very famous Christian songwriter in the 60s and 70s, totally and completely sold out for God. And he wrote a song about this whole thing, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I just want to read the words to you. These are the words of, this is not the words from the Bible, this is words of Keith Green. It says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And this is from the perspective of God speaking. I don't need your money. I want your life. I hear you say that I'm coming back soon, but you act like I'll never return. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly, and I'll give back to you according to what you've done. According to what you've done. Really powerful words, because God's so much more interested in our obedience, not out of duty, but out of relationship to him. He wants our hearts. That's what it says there, isn't it? I don't want your money. I want your life. It's all or nothing. And in Old Testament times, people would go to sacrifice, and they would go, as it were, in one way, to settle an account with God. They would go, and they would go once a year, and they would pay the price, and accounts were settled with God. But then next year, they would need to go back again to do that same thing, that same ritual again. Obedience pleases God. We're not about giving to God so that we can somehow appease him or somehow twist his arm and just say, well, God, I'm doing this thing. I'm coming to church on a Sunday. I'm giving my tithes. I'm giving my time to this thing. I'm doing this and that. Therefore, because I'm giving to you, you must now give to me. That isn't how it works, is it? We don't sacrifice to God to get from God. We give our tithes. We give our time. We give ourselves to him. And the only reason for that is because who else is there to do it to? He is first and foremost number one. He is the only one true living God. We don't sacrifice, as it were, to get from God, but we obey him because we're in a relationship with him. I was just thinking, if we strip everything away, if we could ask God, what really pleases you? What is it, God, that gets your attention? What is it that pleases you over everything? I think his response would be, I want my people to be obedient to me, to believe my word, and to respond. To obey is better than sacrifice. So God doesn't want a sacrifice, or he doesn't want us to give ourselves to him out of obligation, or that we're going to give to God so that we can dodge the consequences of life. God wants us to be obedient. He wants to obey him out of love. There's a big difference, isn't there, when we're obeying God and obeying his word, because we love God, because we love the author of God's word, not because we think, okay, well, we're going to obey you because I'm going to get something out of it. We're obeying God because we know that he loves obedience, but we love the one who is the author of the word. Another, why we obey God, because of what he's already done for us. There's nothing that we're waiting for God to do. He's done everything. He's gone before us. He's achieved everything. He's overcome death. He's overcome hell. He's risen from the dead. He is the most powerful person that has ever walked upon this earth. We obey him for what he has done, because there's no higher authority in heaven and on earth. We obey him for who he is. And we obey him because we trust him. You know, have you ever felt God to tell you to do something and you thought, I don't really know how this is going to go out, how this is going to work out. I don't really know why you're asking me to do this. But you know, we can obey God because we know that he's always our best at heart. So you may be sitting here today and God's telling you to do something and you say, I can't see how this is going to work out. I don't understand why you're asking me to do that. But we can obey, can't we? Because he is faithful. I don't think there's anybody in this room that can say that God has ever let them down or has failed them. It's impossible. We let each other down. I will let you down. Others will let down. Husbands will let wives down. Wives will let husbands. But God will never and can never and has never failed. And so how can we obey? We can obey because we can trust him because of who he is. And you know, the reality is, being obedient to God doesn't mean that everything is going to go fine. So you can smile. Doesn't mean that everything necessarily is going to work out in an easy way. But being in a place of listening to God, being obedient, following him, means that you are stepping out, totally trusting in a God that never fails and in his word that never fails. Therefore, you're in a safe place. How can you trust God? You trust God through relationship. You trust God because you love him. We're obedient to him because we know that he will never, ever fail. So obedience isn't a feeling. Radical obedience isn't something that we may even feel like doing. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. I'm called. I'm chosen. The identity that I now have as a person is that I'm a Christian. That's who I am. This is the way that I go. This is my destiny. This is the path that I'm traveling. And God's got a call and plan and purpose on my life. So when he calls, when he says, jump, when he says, go this way, when he says, go this way, what am I going to do? I am going to be obedient to that call. That was what turned, that attitude was what turned the world upside down. That attitude in that first church was what brought transformation in that first church community. And we want to encourage that, don't we? We don't want to be watering down. Well, it's okay, you can do this and that. You can actually, it's just to kind of just do what you want. Do what makes you feel good, culture. Just go with it. God loves you. That isn't what I see when I read what the first church was like. It was God speaking, people obeying, people saying, man, this looks difficult, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to follow you. And God changed the world through them. So what could God do through us? He could change the world. He could change England. He could change Horsham. Who knows? You're looking at me like, huh? Yes. And I'm sure those first believers were looking at themselves saying, what? Us? But yes, God can do amazing things through people that are obedient, that are willing to step out and just obey what he tells them to do. When I read that account, we'll go back into the account in a minute, but when I think about this New Testament church and all the things that happened in Acts, that they lived with an understanding that they had no other choice than to obey God's instructions to them. I think sometimes we, or maybe I do, I think, well, you know, God can tell me something, but, you know, maybe I'll debate it a little bit, or maybe I'll consider it to actually think, is God really right in this? Does he really know what he's doing? But I think when I read stories like that, that those first apostles, the first believers, they lived with the idea that they had no other choice other than to obey God's instructions to them. It wasn't based on comfort, it wasn't based on convenience, but it was total obedience to God. My life is not my own anymore. So what God says, I am going to obey. Even if it means at times that it's going to be uncomfortable. So it was absolutely in the hearts of those believers, it was an absolute necessity for them to obey God and not men. And that's why they had to go on preaching the gospel. They were told not to preach. They were told not to talk about Jesus. But when I read that account, they weren't going to be intimidated. And I was thinking about the world that we live in at the moment. There's so much intimidation. You know, things that we have to be careful about what we can say and what we can't say. But they weren't intimidated. They wouldn't bow to threats. They wouldn't give in to the thoughts of what people could do to them. And you know what is more interesting? They'd been through a whole load of trials and difficulties. They'd been arrested. They'd been put in prison before. So they knew some of the difficulties and the challenges that they were going to face if they continued to do what they were doing and be obedient to God. Yet, they chose not to compromise, not to settle for second best, not just to fit in. You know, guys, I don't think we are, as Christians, called just to blend in to the world and blend in so much that we make no difference at all. There's such a high calling upon God's church and upon his people to share God's love, to preach the gospel, to be a light in the darkness. And God's calling every single one of you to do it. So going back to the story, they were put in a prison. And it says that there was a public prison, which means that they were put in to that prison and they were there alongside murderers and thieves and all kinds of other people were in that prison. And there they are, just being treated like your average criminal. And as they're in that place, and I'm sure they were praying and just rejoicing, and then an angel, this is not an everyday occurrence, is it? An angel comes in to the prison and unlocks the door, opens the door, says, guys, we're out of here. They come out, and as I said, the prison gates locked behind them, and out they go. Acts 5 verse 20 just says, and the angel takes the prisoners out of the, so the angel takes the prisoners out of jail and he commands them to go and preach the gospel. He says, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the message, the full message of this new life. So here they are, they're out of the prison. And I'm thinking, if I was them, maybe I'd make a run for it. I'm out. I've been freed. I'm going to give my excuses why actually I don't feel this is comfortable now. I'm going to make a run for it. I can hear them saying, God, don't you see that each time we do what you tell us to do, we get thrown into prison? Is this a good idea? Are you sure that you want us to do this again? But ringing in their ears, they are the words, preach, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Don't compromise. Preach the gospel. And so they don't give excuses, but they say, okay, we are going to do it. We're going to go back into the temple and we're going to start to preach again the gospel, knowing that it was likely that they were going to be put back into prison again. So knowing that they're going to be put back into prison again, what's their response? No, we're going to do it. If this is what you're saying, we are going to be obedient. We're going to be obedient. Obedience of this sort is radical obedience. No excuse, no thought of themselves, no getting out of it. Whatever it takes, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And that's the same heart that God has for us, isn't it? That He wants us to respond to Him. Lord, in whatever way, whatever you're saying to me, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Because the reality is that the Christian life isn't one that God calls us, that's necessarily comfort, ease, or there's no cost. You read the First Testament church, what they went through, it wasn't easy. Yet through those people, God transformed the world. The gospel went out and Jesus was preached. And God often calls us to do things that we aren't or feel that we aren't able to do, that we're not qualified. And I've been there. And I'm sure all of us here are thinking, I don't know whether I can do that. And if you're thinking that, you're the very person that God wants to use. There's no get out clause, is there? God wants to use every single one of us in whatever capacity and whatever way that we're able to. But it's surrendering ourselves to Him and just saying, God, I want to be obedient to what you're calling us to do this year. And, you know, this grow and multiply vision that we have means that for some of us, it's going to cost us some time to make this happen. Maybe some money. Maybe it's going to mean that we're going to change and go to another congregation. Maybe we're going to be traveling to different nations and different countries. But what will we say when God speaks? Will we say, it's not convenient. I can't. I'm not qualified. I'm unable. You've chosen the wrong person. Look for somebody else. The response that God's looking, because He loves obedience, is yes, I'll go. And yes, I'll be obedient. And yes, I'll follow you. And yes, God, use me. Because with an attitude like that, God can build His church, can't He? And all of us are in a place where we're kind of just thinking, oh my goodness, can God really use me? But yes, God can do great things through obedient, surrendered, submitted, passionate followers and lovers of Jesus. And I know that I'm in a room with some of those people here. So come on. Yes, it is difficult. It's difficult to leave your kids when you are called to go away for a weekend. I know that. I do that. It's difficult. It's hard. Sometimes it's a joy. But most of the time, it's hard. Because it's a disruption to your life. Guys, being a Christian may cause you disruption in your life for a moment. But I tell you, we have got a big vision to accomplish in God. So when you hear the voice of God speaking, Say, yes, God, I want to be obedient. I want to do what you call me to do. I want my life to count for something. I want purpose. I want my life to account for something of eternal perspectives. Acts 5 verse 41 says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. So they'd already made a choice to obey God. We're going to follow God no matter what. And along the way, wow, we are going to count it joy that our names are getting trashed. Acts 5 verse 29, it says, we must obey God rather than men. So obedience is a choice that we make. Acts 4 verse 19, this is kind of just picking out some of the bits that from that long scriptures that we read. But Peter and John made this stand. It's Peter and John replied, judge yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. We have to obey God, don't we? Not what the world tells us, not what our best friend tells us, not what Facebook tells us, not what the internet tells us. We have to obey what the Word of God tells us, how we should live, what we should do. And when we hear it and when we find it, let's be obedient to God's Word and what is saying to us. We cannot compromise on what this Bible teaches. And we won't compromise upon what the Bible teaches. It's not a always lead to God. This Bible doesn't teach that. It says that there is only one mediator between man and God, which is the man Christ Jesus. That there is only one way to get saved, which is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches. And we can't compromise. We have to be obedient as people to what the Word of God teaches. And you know, everybody obeys somebody or something. Everybody's got, whoever you speak to in the world, there will be somebody or something that is guiding the course of people's lives. Let our guiding force be the Word of God. Let's be obedient to what God calls us in his word to do. Let's mirror what this New Testament church culture was like here. You know, it's been great to hear people saying to me recently, wow, it's wonderful when I've come into your church and I've experienced real community and life and joy and praying for one another and ministering to one another. And that's really wonderful when people come and they experience that. And it comes because we want to follow the pattern of the New Testament church. Obedience is the priority of obeying God over every other call or demand upon us. So many calls, so many different things upon our lives telling us to do this or to do that or to go here and to do that. Guys, let's listen, let's hear. And when God speaks, let's say, yes, I will respond. Even if you feel you're out of your depth, even if you feel you can't do it, as I said, those are the people that God always uses and God always calls. Being a Christian, and this is the 412 or the Josh Jen kind of logo, I guess, which is come, die, live. Come to Jesus first. Recognize that we need forgiveness. Die to our old life. And live transformed through his love. That's what being a Christian is, isn't it? It's about us following the leading, the guiding of what God says. God's in the driving seat of our lives. There is a price to pay. And you know, if you are here today, it's you have to understand that just like the lives of the first believers, that even when you're in the center of God's will, you might be a pool and find yourself shipwrecked. Or, and there are countless of people, aren't there, in the Old Testament. We could talk about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, and Joseph, and so many people that we could look at that were following the leading of God, yet they went through difficulties and trials, but God proved himself faithful. And sometimes, and I've done it as well, God, I'm trying to do my best, I'm following you, yet I'm facing this thing and this difficulty and this problem. I don't think I've the reality of what it means sometimes to follow God, because somehow, right in there, we're just like, God, why is this happening to me? I'm trying to do my best. But in all of the messiness of life and following God, and sometimes it is a sacrifice that we choose to do to follow God, that God always comes through for us, doesn't he? Even though we can't see how it's going to work out. So it's worth it. So don't give up. If you're struggling today, don't give up. Press on in. Don't give up on God. God's not given up on you. This is the way of how it is walking with God. That sometimes we feel and sense the closeness and the presence of God and things go well. And sometimes it's blind obedience sometimes. I'm going to follow you because I've heard you speak. And I'm going to do it regardless of even if I feel like I'm blessed. We're going to follow God and what he's told to do. And you know, we come out the other end and we're like, wow, look what God has done. So don't give up. Don't give up on following God. D.L. Moody talks about the joy of obeying God. And he says this, joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows through all the persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him. I love that. It's not on there, but in Acts 16, where it says about Paul and Silas in the prison, and they are just worshiping. They are just giving it some. They are worshiping, preaching, singing, glorifying God to all the other prisoners that are there, because they were being obedient to God and they were experiencing the supernatural joy of God. And you know, when we are obedient to him and we step out in faith, it's God, I'm gonna follow you, I'm gonna be obedient to you. And you know what? God always comes and does his part. He's always faithful. He opens the prison doors. So guys, when we take acts of radical obedience, when we step out, when we choose to follow his leading, not what we may necessarily want to do, we can expect God to be there for us. So I want to encourage you, as we're looking forward into this year, as we're wondering, okay, how is this going to work out? Where am I going to be? What am I going to be doing? What things might I be asked to do? When we say that we're going to be going out in the streets again, will you come with us? Or we're going to be doing this thing or that thing. What are you going to do? Let's take God at his challenge. And it might be difficult and scary, but do you know what? It's when those times when we step out and are obedient that we come back and we say, guys, let me tell you, I've got a testimony. This is what God did. And if we continue just to do the same old, well, we'll have the same old experience. It's in the being obedient and stepping out that we have an amazing testimonies to share with others. Acts 5 verse 30, and I'll be drawing to a close shortly. Acts 5 30. Peter didn't mince his words, did he? God said, go and preach the gospel. and they're out of prison and they start to preach. And then he gives this nice, fluffy little chat. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. I think if I was part of that group, I'd be going, oh my goodness, what are you doing? But the word was, go and preach, go and bring conviction, go and share Jesus. And so he comes out and he shares this story, and it's precisely what they don't want to hear and what they're against. Yet he says, I've got to share with these people because God wants to bring his love to them. That was radical obedience. So do what God says to do. Do what he calls you to do. Know that God will never leave you alone, that God will cause your life to take on, and you will know the presence of God in a different way as we step out in obedience to what he's calling us to do. So I want to encourage you that obedience isn't what we do just to manipulate God. But obedience is what we do because we love him, because we have a relationship with him, because we want to please him, and because obedience is what pleases his heart. And, you know, sometimes obedience is a long journey. Don't we? Who likes things to happen straight away? I like, please, Lord, would you do this for me? Ding, thank you. But, you know, sometimes in the Christian walk, obedience means that we're in it for the long journey. There's a scripture that says that just at the right time, Jesus came. I think that's really significant, that God has his appointed times in our lives. And there's a scripture that's in Acts 5:42, talking about, it says, day after day in the temple courts from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Sometimes it's day after day, week after week, year after year, that we just continue being faithful and obedient and serving the Lord. And through that consistency and through that faithfulness, day after day after day, God comes through. And so you might be in a season where you've been doing something or praying for somebody for a long time. Continue to pray. Don't give up. Be obedient to what God has called you and chosen you to do. Even when the outcome is uncertain, be committed to be obedient to what God has called. That was the life, the lifestyle and the heart of the first church. I've written here, you know, the command was given to them to preach the gospel in spite of arrest and flogging. Well, okay, we're not likely to be taken into Horsham and tied on the... There is a flogging post in Horsham and whipped and flogged. Although that will be part of the passion play that's going to be happening. But, you know, welcome to our world, our current world, where we may not be physically flogged and beaten. But there is persecution. I think Anya came back and said actually that the largest persecuted group in the world today are Christians. So, okay, we're here in Horsham. It's nice for us. But actually there is a cost to following Jesus for lots of people. And if we just talk about God and we just talk about doing nice things, that's fine. But as soon as you mention Jesus, have you noticed? So talk about or do whatever you like, but do not mention Jesus. But we can't not talk about Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no way we can have relationship with the Father except through coming through Jesus. So don't let the world stop you talking about Jesus. So just... Just to bring things to a close, what's the attitude of obedience? So after so many arrests, imprisonments, threats, rejection, they're as passionate about serving God as ever. You think it would have dampened them, don't you? Oh, my goodness. No, they get out of prison and they go for it. It's their passion wasn't dampened for God and to do his will. They don't give up. They didn't doubt God. And I want to encourage us as a church, don't doubt, don't give up. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your fire. Don't let the world pour cold water upon the excitement and joy of what it is to follow God. When you hear God speak, be obedient and step out. Don't trust in yourself or what gifts and talents and abilities that you have. Step out and trust God and say, God, I'm here. I'm available. I'm willing. Would you use me? And, you know, with a people that have an attitude like that, that are willing to say, God, wherever, whatever, whoever, just, I want to serve you. God will do incredible things. We've got to look at ourselves differently. And stop looking at ourselves and start to believe that Jesus Christ, he lives within us. And he in us is able to do incredible things. And I heard it said that the key to godliness is not more knowledge, but more obedience to follow him. So just to finish with, we obey God because who he is. The more I know God, the more I want to obey him. When you love somebody, you listen to them. When we love God's word, we want to obey it and see it lived out in our lives. We don't always understand everything about what God is doing, but we love and trust him, and therefore we obey. So guys, let's never lose the wonder of who God is. Let's never, ever stop being excited about knowing the creator of the universe. Let's fall in love with him. And the deeper that we fall in love with him, the greater degree of obedience. And God knows what we believe, because we will obey him in the things that he calls us to do. That's the way I think that God, that we show God that we love him, is when we obey and when we're obedient to him. Love makes obedience a thing of joy.